What is up, everybody? This is the E4L podcast. This is our second ever time doing this. And today's a special day. It is Tyler Zed's birthday. 28 today. So we'll lead off by saying, happy birthday, Ty. I got a beer over here. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers right it now. Up. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, I'm cheersing it up right now.
Thanks. Thank you. I definitely felt the love on Twitter. It was awesome. So thanks, everyone. It's been a great birthday so far, for sure. Great birthday. So we got a great show today. A lot happening this week. This show is going to be a little bit more structured than last time. Hopefully you guys got to know us a little bit better. Instead of just seeing the tweets, got to know how we got started and all that good stuff. So, but yeah, this week we got Trump getting prisoners from North Korea. Huge news. No one ever thought that would happen. The Iran deal, the U.S. withdrawal from the Iran deal. Huge news as well. We don't want to beat that horse too dead. I'm sure you guys are all sick of it too, but we got a few things to say about it.
Got the Australia shooting that happened on Friday. Just lately, there's just too much winning, Mr. President. You got to slow down a little
bit. Too much.
I don't know if I can take all this.
It's absolutely huge.
It's just too so huge. Good. So what should we start out with first, I guess?
I think we should start out a little bit different, aside from all that. I think a lot of the followers that follow us on Twitter, they are people our age, either millennials or Generation Z, and they follow us because they say, wow, people my age are conservative, and they see that we have a platform, they follow. A lot of messages, and I know you get these too, Dylan, come from parents of millennials that are like, wow, I wish that my son or my daughter was not so brainwashed by their college.
Dude, yeah. I get messages almost every day by parents like that are like, do you have any advice for my kids? Like, they went off to college, and now they're like a hardcore lefty and like won't listen to me anymore. So, and like, that is kind of like a hard, you know, it's like, I don't know your kids exactly, you know, like, it might take different parenting angles depending on your kid's personality and how they learn and whatnot, but yeah, no, that's a good question, though.
It is. How dive into how that. Do we, how do parents talk to their kids like that? How would you, if you were approaching your son or daughter, they're super liberal and they get very offended every time you bring up anything political, what do you do? How do you approach them?
See, well, you can't just be super aggressive with them, I think. Like, you have to maybe come from an angle where you ask them questions that get them to really think about what they believe in, you know, and maybe start out kind of soft, like, almost maybe even start out by agreeing with them, like, okay, like, sure, but why do you believe that, you know, like, let's talk about it type of deal, and then, like, let them kind of try to answer it, you know, and then maybe feed in a little more information to that belief, and, like, eventually they might come full circle on a topic that they're like, wow, I don't even know what I'm talking about right now, you know, like,
yeah,
because a lot of liberals get super defensive because they're using emotions instead of facts, logic, and reason, so, and if you can get them to realize that without making them feel embarrassed or like fools, like, you can actually make some ground, I think.
For sure.
Absolutely.
They always, they start in the defense, I think, you know? I mean, they're ready, they're ready to bark.
Super defensive.
Ready to go ham right away, so.
Ready like, to go ham.
That's like Austin Fleckus or Austin Fletcher of Fleckus Talks. Like, he does a great job at like kind of remaining neutral and just like letting them, you know, bite themselves in the tail, so.
Right. It's important to not be overzealous, like you said. You don't want to attack them or, you know, come off as an asshole, but planting those seeds is definitely a part of it. I think more importantly, if politics really is that big of a deal and your son or daughter gets upset, if it's your son or daughter, your mom or dad, there is no point in losing your relationship over whether or not you think, you know,
the wall should be built.
Exactly. If either have a zero tolerance policy, don't talk about it at all, or have a policy of respect and you guys talk like human beings. That is the only two options you have. And if you guys both agree on one of those, then that's, I think that's what you need to start with.
Yeah, and you also don't got to go immediately to hating somebody when they disagree with your political views. Like, you can know they're wrong. Like, lots of times LeBron will say something and I'm like, wow, he's way off. Cat will say something, I'm like, that is way off. But like, I understand that they're just extremely misinformed, but I still like them as like human beings, you know?
Right,
Like,
right.
you can still respect people, but a lot of people from the left are just so intolerant. Like, if you don't agree with them, boom, it's total cut off. Like, they have no room.
So, what advice would you have for people our age? I guess people that are mid-20s, that are going into their first workplace, they just got their first job, go to the first workplace, or even somebody that might be going to college for the first time. You know, they're conservative, they, you know, have grown up conservative or whatever, and next fall is their first year at college. What advice would you give to them?
It's a really good question because I haven't even been on a college campus in 6 years, and like the political environment has changed so much. Like, that's all people do now is talk about politics, and it's basically like this side versus that side. So I can only imagine what the environment's like now on college campuses. I didn't even think about politics when I was in school, which was actually really nice. So,
I think that has,
So
I think that has to do with just technology in general. You know, it's advanced so fast in such a short amount of time that I believe that's why everyone's so politically engaged, especially with such a crazy election, last election.
Yeah, well, the media is just going wild. You know, they're the established deep state media, globalist media. They can't stand to see this happen. So the brainwashing has increased, you know, tenfold, and it's working on a lot of people. And there's like I said last time, there's a lot of psychology that goes into this groupthink. You know, you get a bunch of people in the same room that are all listening, you know, the same propaganda off the media, and they got liberal teachers. And, you know, one person uses their brain as like, guys, why are we thinking this? You know, they immediately get ostracized, they get shot down, and it's just easier to keep your mouth shut than try to, you know, tell fools that they're being foolish.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Devin has a great story.
I was going to say from experience. From experience, like at college, being a conservative, in speech classes, I would give speeches on demonstration speech was how you should donate and how you should put your money in. And of course, I had to use the Clinton Foundation as a perfect example of when you dig in and do your research on money and where it goes and everything inside of the organization. Why do you want to donate to a company where, you know, 90% is getting put right back into administration fees while 10% is going to the cause? And it's even less than that. But so right away in college, I definitely didn't have a lot of close friends, I guess. There was a speech that a girl came out and did, and we had to bring up a controversial issue in our speech class. This girl brought up how transgenderism, a person who is transgender and comes out, has just as much courage as a soldier that stands on the front line on the battlefield. I was the only person that stood up, and I was like, that's not right. I was
Oh my gosh. Seriously?
You can't compare it. It's comparing oranges and apples. It's two completely different types of courage, And I think a good example of the way it was set, though, too, is as soon as I spoke up, there was at least 12 chicks that...
Yeah, why weren't they applauding your courage for speaking up, then? If it takes courage like that, you know, like...
And this is where it's great. All the guys are like, man, we got your back. But they just didn't want to speak up. They didn't want to get attacked by the pack
of
wolves. No one
wants to deal with that crap.
No, it's...
I think... Devin, your story, that brings up a great example, and that's the exact advice I would give to any Gen Z conservative, or even millennial, I guess, if you're in your mid-20s and you're about to go to college for the first time. Do not be afraid to speak up on what you believe in. When you go to class, you're going to have at least, I would guess, 90% of the class that believe differently than you, and very likely your teacher. Interestingly enough, a stat came out this week. A study showed that 39% of liberal arts colleges in the United States have zero Republican professors. That is insane. So when you go into class, you're going to have people against you. Do not be afraid to speak up. Do not.
No. It's like that quote. It's like, don't be afraid to speak the truth, even if your voice shakes. And like, that is so true.
Yes,
you'll get better at it too. Like, you'll
you're
get a
going
lot
to be
better
nervous. You're going to be very nervous. Your heart is going to pump, and you're probably going to sweat. You might sound a little foolish, but
your face might get all red.
Yes,
and like, you know,
it doesn't matter.
They'll attack you for that too. Trust me, they will. But you know.
Stand up for what you believe in, and every time you speak up, every single time that you make an argument and you make valid points, you could be red-pilling somebody. You could be getting across to someone, and they need to hear that. So do not let them hear all this other jargon, like Devin's story. A freaking transgender coming out to the world is like a soldier on the battlefield. That is absurd. That is what is being taught on the college campuses, and that is not acceptable.
Yeah, I mean,
chopping off body parts, which is what compared to taking bullets on the battlefield for your country. Yeah, that compares.
I will give a little props, you know, to the professor. She was encouraging the discussion to get furthered on, and she didn't choose any side, which was pretty nice. I mean, you know, standing up against that liberal mentality and the transgender talk, I figured for sure she was on the liberal side of things. And the best part was after class, I went and talked to her about it, and one of her cousins or uncles was transgender, and she just thought it was a good argument, is what she said.
Well, it is props to her for letting the argument happen and for her not injecting her opinion, I guess. I mean, that's what should be happening.
Yeah.
I think another major problem with like our younger generation is we're just lazy. They want everything spoon-fed to us by, you know, other people instead of doing research that literally could take 30 seconds to figure something out. You know, like, even when people start talking about things, like, they'll be like, oh, how does that one song go? That was like, the lyrics are like, it's like, dude, just type in those exact lyrics. It could be 3 or 4 lyrics, and you'll know the exact song and artist. Like,
it's lazy all around,
it's
ridiculous.
Yeah. It's so lazy. It's crazy.
That's
like, think if Plato or, like, Aristotle and them had an iPhone and, like, had the access that we do now.
Oh, man.
Think of that.
Well, that's where the love of Bernie comes from. Socialism, man. I deserve. You know, that's just, if you are, you deserve, man. No. Yeah.
If you are, you deserve. That should be a slogan. If you are, you deserve. That's great.
Quick time out. Dill, how is Devin's mic sounding?
It's pretty choppy again.
Yeah.
Really?
Devin, you're recording on your computer too, right?
Yeah.
Devin?
Yep.
Okay, well, I'll cut this part out, but it's 13 minutes. yeah, we'll see. But, yeah, it's, like, super bad on my end. I just was letting
it
go.
Yeah, like, it was like, yeah, I know, I didn't want to, like, stop it, you know, but, yeah, it was, like, hard to even, like, hear you at times.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm
why.
Hoping,
like,
hopefully it recorded on your audio on your computer and we can use that. So let's just keep injecting your conversation in. Don't hold back at all, but I just want to see what you thought, Dill.
We definitely have to get that fixed, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we absolutely do. I don't know what the f*** is.
I'll check it as soon as we get off here, too.
All right, let's...
You can almost just keep this part right in there, too. It's kind of like behind-the-scenes footage.
Okay. Yeah, we could do that.
Maybe. Let's just roll it. Keep rolling.
Back to WJJY 107.5.
With Dirty D.
That was Dirty D. Whoa.
Oh, man.
Stone Temple Pilots. All right, what do we got next? So, yeah, the importance of speaking up in college. Oh, I have a real quick story about that. About triggering your professors. I guess maybe you shouldn't do this, but I felt the need to. I had a couple of very liberal professors. One before I went into the military when I was at college on campus, and then when I was out of the military, I had a speech class. During my speech class, I gave a speech about how Kellyanne Conway broke a glass ceiling. And yeah, she didn't like that too much. I actually got a C in that class. My only C ever. And I know it's because of that. And then there is another teacher when I was a freshman, so way back, or, you know, like almost 10 years ago now, actually. We would have to. Well, she made this essay called "Make Meaning Your Own Meaning," and she advocated for this super subjective reasoning and view of everything. So it's like, oh well, make everything your own meaning.
Let's just make up new definitions for each word then,
it's
too.
Just, individualism is very important. Everyone needs to be an individual. That's where creativity comes from a lot of the time. But such an extreme, subjective view of the world, that is insane. That's where we get this PC culture. Dylan, you had a great tweet this week about PC destroys everything it touches. It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so
true.
The
latest victim was the Boy Scouts.
The other way I triggered her was we had to do a weekly journal, and I saw this Facebook post, and it was something ridiculous about illegal immigrants, and but it was called American Joe versus Jose or something, and it talked about how Jose would send money back to Mexico untaxed, they would live untaxed, blah, 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 and this guy that worked his butt off named Joe. He's a plumber, he had to pay taxes, and he was making less money than Jose because Jose was illegal and wasn't on the books. And I wrote a post about that, and dude, she was so mad. She's like, I am so disappointed. I hope you don't actually think that. I was like, well, honestly, it seems a little bit unfair, doesn't it? Doesn't it just seem a little unfair? Like, come on, man. Come on.
Come on. Come on.
So,
yeah.
But this week, yeah, Trump and the three POWs. Dylan, you had a lot of great tweets about that.
Yeah, comparing and contrasting Trump's administration to Obama's administration makes Obama look worse and worse and worse every single day. It's amazing. And the people that side with, you know, Obama and his administration, they're being forced further and further left and to, like, irrational, like, holding on to irrational, like, viewpoints to try to, you know, keep their narrative alive that Obama was, you know, their messiah and that Trump's terrible. So it's amazing what we're watching, and it's just going to keep getting worse for them as long as Trump is in office, you know, kicking butt like he is.
It is really crazy.
Like, that's what we do well with our tweets. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that's what we do really well with our tweets. We, like, you know, it's all perspective. We compare and contrast with, like, liberal viewpoints. You know, and then we use their logic against them to make them look like fools, because it's just
absolutely
so easy.
Yeah, I think it is. That's the thing, man. We have a lot of great tweets that people like, but I feel like there's so much material about the left that it's like so. Yeah,
the subject
so
matter
easy.
Is just, never ending. Someone's doing something every day. Like, it never ends. Like, that's why we have a platform. That's why we're now doing a podcast about this stuff, because they give us never ending subject matter to work with. It's awesome.
It is. Literally, that's how I get my tweets. Every day I go on the news and I'm like, oh, what did Maxine Waters say today? We'll get to her in a second. Devin's
blessing.
Got a few things.
Keep a microphone in front of her and Pelosi and all of them. It's great.
But back to Obama, it's so shocking that he's on such a pedestal, and you have all of this very objective evidence that he was a horrible, horrible president, especially when it comes to foreign policy. And this prisoner of war thing is a great example. How do you refute the fact that Obama exchanged 5 terrorist commanders for a traitor in Bo Bergdahl?
Deserter, yep.
Exactly. Yeah. And versus getting 3 prisoners of war from possibly the most hostile country in the world, you know, and no one ever thought that would happen. That those are 2 completely polar opposite and lopsided trades. And for once, it worked out.
Switch that around. It was Trump that, you know, gave up the Taliban commanders or whatever. And then Obama was the one that, you know, got these hostages freed from North Korea. They would be, liberals would be down on their knees, you know, doing you know what to Obama.
Oh, man.
For real. I'm not kidding.
Speaking of Bo Bergdahl.
If Trump was Obama, liberals would be on their knees right now. I say that.
90% positive coverage. 99% positive coverage. That's what that would be. And then some. But speaking of Bo Bergdahl, I remember when I was stationed in San Antonio, I worked medical, and he just got back to the States, and that's where he went. He went to Walter Reed Medical Center, I believe, in San Antonio. Maybe, I don't know if it was Walter Reed. I think that's Maryland. He went to the big hospital on the Army base at Fort Sam Houston. And in medical, you can look up anyone's medical record. It's just a database of everyone. I mean, you could probably look up John McCain and I don't know about other congressmen, and senators and whatever, but you could look up any active duty member in the entire DOD. And so people were getting in trouble. Like that week that he got back, people were in so much trouble. They were losing stripes left and right because it's very easy for them to see who accessed whose record. So people would go in, log in, and look at Bo Bergdahl's medical record. It's like, report to the general's office. You're about to lose a stripe. It's crazy, man. That's a quick
Wow.
side note there, but yeah, it's
That's
pretty crazy.
cool. That is a cool little story, though. Wow. So.
And well, speaking of prisoners of war and terrorists, Iran was also in the news this week. A monumental withdrawal from the Iran deal by Trump. Huge.
Another campaign promise fulfilled. He said he was going to do that,
Yep.
renegotiate or pull out, and he did.
Yep.
And I'm
Yep.
glad he pulled out completely. Like, oh my gosh, wanted that to happen so bad. That was maybe, like Trump says, maybe the worst deal in the history of deals.
The
We
worst.
literally
It
got
really was.
nothing. It was, what did we get out of that?
So, one thing I heard this week that blew my mind, and so one of the arguments is like, well, Iran was, they were abiding by all the rules, and one, a couple weeks ago, Israel just released all of that data saying that Iran did not stop their nuclear program after the deal. I mean, there was tons of data saying that they didn't. And two, their largest military base in Iran, they're supposed to be inspected, right? I don't know how often, but they're supposed to be inspected, I want to say annually. Since 2015, when that deal went into place, their largest base was never inspected. And the best analogy I heard on that was, that's like a serial killer having the FBI come to their house and say, "Come on in, but just don't go in this room. Don't go in the room." It's like, come on, man. Hey, honestly.
That's hilarious, but it's a really good comparison, actually. Wasn't there like contingencies too when we gave them that money and whatnot, like to inspect their reactors or not the reactors, but like we had to give them a notice ahead of time that we were coming. Like I can't remember if it was 48 hours. There was some ridiculous amount of time. We were like, they could prepare for that visit. It should be no. We like gave you all this money and shit. We are gonna knock and you're gonna open. We're gonna see what the hell you're doing. That's how it should be.
Agreed.
It's ridiculous.
I agree 100%.
Insane. Insane. So then, how about Australia?
Oh,
What do we
man.
got there, huh?
Oh, man.
Guns are illegal, man. Like, how does that happen?
Dude,
Jeez.
I got absolutely attacked on Twitter. Did you see my tweet, actually?
Yeah, I read it. It wasn't even bad. You said it was an unfortunate event.
Devin, did you see the tweet?
I did, yes.
I'm just going to read it out in case anyone didn't. Seven people are dead after a mass shooting in Australia, a country that prides itself on their gun laws and injects itself into our country's gun debate with unfunny fools like Jim Jeffries. This is an unfortunate example that further proves gun laws do not stop evil people. And I was absolutely bombarded. 700. Dude. 782 comments. I think that's a record on one of my posts. 782. Almost
Wow. Welcome to the
a
big leagues, man.
very large portion of them being people that are like, "Do you even hear yourself? The argument you're making? No one needs a fully automatic AK-47." Come on. There's literally.
Dude, that's how I read like every liberal voice or reply to me. Pretty much the same voice that you use. It's
So,
like the generic whiny liberal voice.
there's a lot of things that piss me off about the Australia argument. Well, Australia hasn't had an attack in 22 years. Well,
They
it's.
also have more guns than when they banned them. Like that's a fact. They have more guns now than when the ban went into effect, and I think it was
Wow,
96.
that's very interesting. I didn't know that.
Yep, and it's
Wow.
also a different, like, they don't have a, they're not bordering another country like Mexico with, cartels that can smuggle guns in easily because we have no border wall. And they're all located on pretty much a coastal plain. Like, it's a lot easier to control a population that small, that condensed,
Right.
compared to trying to get 350 million,
350 million. 350 million
guns
versus.
from rural areas of
Yep.
the U.S. Good luck.
There's only 23 million people that live in Australia. They don't have places like St. Louis, New Orleans, Chicago, places where
Baltimore.
Gang violence is a very large majority of the gun violence statistics in our country. There was something crazy back when the that whole David Hogg thing was huge, that if you took away five cities out of the five cities gun crimes in our country, it was like, yeah, New Orleans, St. Louis, Chicago, Baltimore, and some Atlanta, I want to say. If you took out those five cities gun statistics, we would be one of the safest countries in the world. And it's
And what do all those cities have in common?
Gangs, man.
Gun control laws and
they
Democrats.
All have gun control. Oh, yes.
Democrat-controlled cities, yes.
Yeah, it's,
long-time Democrat-controlled policies, you know?
Yep.
And gun control. So, Like, dude, those are facts that literally should slap any rational person sideways across the face. And liberals are just like taking it this way and that way, and it's just like not phasing them at all. It's like you tell them that, it's like, no, that's not true. It's like, okay, all right.
The other thing about this whole Australia thing is, it's been the first one in 22 years. Well, actually, if you don't curtail the definition of a mass shooting, if you include three people that were shot, there was, at the end of 2014, I think it was three consecutive months, or September, October, and December. In all three of those months, there was a shooting in Australia that had three deaths, and one of them had an injury or two. So maybe if that shooter was a little more accurate or whatever, he could have made the list of mass shootings. It's ridiculous that they say, oh, it hasn't happened since 22 years ago. That's bullshit. It's been attempted plenty of times, and to say that it hasn't, you are absolutely wrong. And I mean, the Australian argument is so ridiculous.
Yeah. No. Bottom line is, criminals do not follow laws. And you know what? You're just making it worse for law-abiding citizens, and now they have no defense. So, it's literally that basic.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That's just a hard concept for them. A lot of concepts are, though.
Diva.
So I guess we're up to, should we go 30 minutes today, or?
I'd say we go about 30 minutes and try to keep it a little bit shorter, maybe do two a week, keep up with the news a little bit better. Devin, I know you wanted to talk about a certain crazy Maxine.
A little Maxi Pad Waters.
oh, man.
Well, like this word offended being thrown around constantly. I'm offended because of this. I'm offended because you called me him instead of they. You called me, what is it these days? Being offended is what? I mean, it is such...
It's subjective to each person.
And we're all supposed to abide by that. We're supposed to know what that person is offended, you know, in a liberal's eyes.
If we're all supposed to, abide by that, like, wouldn't we all of a sudden be subjected to, like, the biggest, like, wimp out there, whoever's the most offended, all of a sudden we're going to have to go by that, like, that would be the bar that gets set, like, so we don't offend anybody.
And it's like,
Think about it, man.
Well, turning over to, like, is it England, where they're censoring Facebook and everything to the point of comments, posts, and anything that is offensive could be put into, I mean, that is just ridiculous. You could create 50 fake accounts and report this one comment, and it would probably throw a flag in the system.
Dude, think of a crazy ex-girlfriend that did that, like, created 50 different accounts, like you said, and just attacked their ex and got him thrown in jail for, like, because they were so offended over one of his posts or something.
It's totally possible.
Like you said, man.
That's plausible. It is.
Yeah, the subjectiveness of it is just ridiculous. Dave, are you referring to Maxine Waters' video of that congressman yelling at her?
Yes, yeah.
And she was saying, like, you just offended me.
Yeah, I should have went back and clarified that a little bit. But yeah, exactly where I was coming from with that.
Yeah, I talked about it a little bit, but did you guys see Candace Owens destroy her on Twitter yesterday?
No, but Candace is killing it. She's so awesome.
I got to read her tweet. She said, for the life of me, I'll never understand how the Democrats can question our president's sanity while continuing to put Rep. Maxine Waters in front of a camera. It's so true, man. She's so spot on. I love it. Impeach 45. Impeach 45.
Dude, yesterday she said that as a black person that Trump's slogan "Make America Great Again" was racist and offended her. Seriously, how is that offensive at all? Making America great again.
It's yeah. There's so much that is, well, that's the subjective nature that you can control people with. It's like, oh, well, your point of view, no matter what it is right, and we'll defend it no matter what. That literally blankets the entire
dude, her career depends on manufacturing fake racism, which she makes money off of. She's a race pimp. That's all she is. She's plain and simple.
Just like Al Sharpton, just like all of those people that are from, you know, Al Sharpton is another one of those people that uses it to profit, and he doesn't actually do a thing, and it's evident by the crime rates that are still out there.
Right, exactly.
Well, and that's why...
Dave...
Sorry, keep going.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say,
I was going to totally switch topics,
The Kanye thing is, being courageous for speaking up about things that aren't right, he is a great example. Whether you agree with him or not, it's...
If him and Candace can get other people, you know, on the same train to just, you know, speak up, because there's a lot of people that think like they do. They want to have a career in Hollywood and stuff still. So, you know, their jobs depend on it. So, but you guys are. I was gonna switch topics real quick.
Switch it up.
Dave, did you see that one like sexuality expert said that we should start asking babies for their consent before we change their diapers?
What?
She says that.
Awesome.
I tweeted about this like a few times because it was so funny. She said that like you just should still ask them because it's like encouraging like a good like I can't remember how she described it. It was like it's fostering like a permission type culture, like so you're not doing any kind of advances against unwanted advances.
It's like so you
ask them. She's like, well, they probably won't understand you, obviously, but you should still ask them, like a grown-up, and then give them time, and then wait for their body cues.
Come on, man.
Dude, this chick had short, straight, pink hair. Why do we keep calling stupid people experts? Like, what is going on? How do they even get these titles? I don't get it.
Ask a baby permission to change his diaper.
Yeah. They just keep going.
If anyone has ever held a baby, you would understand that, like... when your child is crying and it does not want to be fed, it does not want to sit in a cold, wet, stinky, like, it doesn't want you to process that, hey, do you want to be changed, like, or do you want to sit in that? You know, I'll give you some time to think about it, but...
Or do you want to bask in your soil?
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, the baby did, like, a head shake thing. I don't think he wants to be changed right now.
Yeah. How do you know? Like, oh, the baby said no. Yeah. How did you know?
Someone's comment was like, well, my baby, I asked him in a respectful manner. He leaned in, grabbed the remote, and started biting it. And like, the guy's like, so how do I interpret this? Like, and then someone's like, well, I heard that, you know, whoever controls the remote's the man of the house, so it's pretty powerful alpha move right there. Like, it's an alpha move. It's like,
oh, dude.
And then, yeah, the comments just got crazy after that.
That is funny, man. Wow.
Yep.
Well, we should probably wrap this up. Before we do, I'd like to say that if you enjoy listening to our podcast, you enjoy Dylan or Devin or I's tweets, please go to patreon.com. It's a site where you can donate a certain amount a month. If you give up a sip of coffee a day, it would amount to $1 a month. That would, if we had all of our followers do that, it would add up to a lot of money that we could do a lot of things with. If you ever listen to the Rubin Report, that's how he got his start, and that's how he was able to make his current studio. So if you ever watch that, that's where he started. Please go check it out. Dylan, Devin, do you guys got anything else?
Yeah, I was going to say, for our Patreon members, you know, if like we have people, like, we're still talking about, like, we just started selling products, like wristbands, we got lanyards in, we're getting stickers, hopefully shirts are coming, hats, mugs, and me and you, Tyler, we're working on that book right now, hopefully get that published by late summer. So yeah, like, we need money to do this stuff, there's a demand for it. But yeah, patreon.com, patreon.com/E4L. I think that's it, right?
That is it.
But and we were also talking, like, you know, if there's like $5 a month members, like, we should do stuff for those guys too. Like, maybe we'll send you some lanyards, some wristbands. But yeah, we got to talk about that. But we'll definitely, like, we want to take care of people to take care of us too. Like, we appreciate it immensely.
And we want the quality of our stuff to get better. We want to make this podcast as best we possibly can. And our equipment, recording stuff, it all matters. So that's what all that money would go towards. So we will try to do this hopefully twice a week. Devin, you got anything else? Dylan?
No, just yeah, definitely always appreciate all feedback given, good and bad. Always love hearing ways that we can improve, whether it's products, podcasts, tweets, always, anytime. Definitely feel free to drop by, throw the PM, the DM.
Yeah, no, for sure.
We do read those. We read those.
All right, well, I think we should end it. As I lay there in my childhood bedroom at the age of 33, never moved out, I stared up at my participation trophies. All of my Beanie Babies that I collected over the years, they sat there and I thought to myself, why? Why am I not getting a free handout right now? No one wants to hire me. I have a gender studies degree. Why? Doesn't make sense. My parents give me an allowance, $200 a week. I'm 33. Never had sex. That's all I got. I had to freestyle that one.
Oh my god, that was really 33 in my childhood bedroom.
Dude, that was great.
All right, everyone. Really thanks good. For listening. Subscribe, like, share. I appreciate it. We will see you guys soon.